Merry Christmas. There was a little girl after Mass this morning who told me that somebody had wished her Merry Christmas, and she told them, not yet, it's still Advent. I said, oh, well, that's true. And then she said, but it's almost Christmas. I thought she was just going to burst with excitement. It reminded me of a story of a young boy who was so excited for Christmas to come. And he kept watching over the weeks as Christmas was drawing near, as the presents were piling up under the trees. And everyone had his name on. Finally, Christmas Eve came, dinner, Mass. The family comes home and he rips open all his gifts. And his mom sees him later on that night, kind of just sitting there in the living room. And he looks kind of glum. And so his mom asks him, what's the matter? And he tells her, I didn't get what I wanted. His mom says, well, what did you want? He thinks for a second. He says, I don't know, but I didn't get it. That kid is us. It's every one of us. Every human heart. We're born wanting something, which we have sort of a faint sense of. A faint sense that it was something we had but had lost. You know, we inherit a lot from our parents. Something's good, something's not so good. We inherited from Adam and Eve our parents' original sin. But we also inherited something that they had and lost as well. Adam and Eve knew union with God. They had experienced this. And we inherit that from them, even though they had lost it, and we've never experienced that fully. You've never experienced the fullness of union with God in your life, but yet there's this longing for it. There's this aching void for it. And we know, but we don't know, because we lie to ourselves, and we're really good at that, that no gifts, no things, no person, no honor is ever going to fill it. And you know, it's at its core, it's a homesickness. It's a homesickness. When I was a junior in college, I studied abroad in Austria, in Europe. And I had made plans, because I had never really spent any extended time out of the country, that it was a fall semester, and it would end the beginning of December, and I was just going to spend Christmas break over in Europe. My brother knew a family in Rome, and I was going to go spend it with them. It was all set up. And then I would come back right before the semester began. But as December started, there was this weird feeling that was overcoming me. It was very strange. Because in 2.5 years of college, I had never for a moment experienced homesickness. When you wake up at 5:30 in the morning to milk cows and then milk them every night, no matter what the weather, you don't really miss home a lot when you go away. But here was this sense of homesickness. And so I knew I needed to go home, and I did. But much more than that, there's in your heart, in every human heart, there's the aching desire, which is a homesickness, which is a longing for our eternal home. What we want is God. What we want is God. St. Thomas Aquinas, toward the very end of his life, he was praying in his chapel. And you know, he was one of the great saints of all the church, one of the greatest minds. He had written some of the most important works that we have in our faith. And he was praying in his chapel, and the Lord spoke to him. As he speaks to each one of us, Jesus speaks to us. Oftentimes we don't hear it, though, because our lives are drowned out in noise, but he speaks to us, and he spoke to Thomas, and he said to him, Thomas, you have written well of me. What do you desire? What do you want? And Thomas replied, Lord, only you. You are all that I want. Lord, only you. It was after that he had stopped writing altogether. And looking back at all his work, he had said it was but straw. Not in the sense that it was worthless, but it was but straw that would be like the straw in a manger. Perhaps at best, which the Lord could lay upon, and we could come to adore him there. Lord, only you. Our joy of Christmas, the joy that is Christmas, what we want has come to us. Emmanuel, God with us. It's the joy of even something that's just a small sliver of that. It's the joy of a mother who has the first glimpse of her child that she had been longing for and waiting for all those months. And the first glimpse that she has of that child. Mothers, do you remember that? The first look, the first time you hold your child and look upon its face. The joy of that, the longing for that. That Christmas is the first glimpse of what we long for. The only thing that we want. The newborn child, the fulfillment of all of our longing. That the manger is the first glimpse of the one whom we long for and the one who came to take us home, to bring us home. For behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. The infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. The child in the manger is a glimpse of the fulfillment not only of our great desire, but it's a glimpse of God's desire as well. The child in the manger, that's not just a glimpse of our own desire, what our own hearts long for. It's a glimpse of God's desire too. This past summer, I was driving back from Minnesota with my mom. I was down in southern Minnesota giving a retreat to some handmaid sisters. And because you parents know when your kids grow, sometimes they scatter about the country, right? And so you have the rare moments when you can see them and you take advantage of it. And so the retreat was down close to where my little sister lives with her husband and three kids. And so while I was giving the retreat, mom was down visiting her only daughter and some grandkids. And so we were driving back, a long drive. There we were, just mom and her favorite son. So we were talking, you know, because you're driving. And she got talking about what's coming up this week, about their 50th wedding anniversary. Mom and dad, 50 years. And mom and dad had very different ideas about how they wanted to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. Very different ideas. Dad wanted to throw a huge party. Massive party, invite everyone. And he wanted an Irish band and this huge party. Mom, though, as she was talking about this, clearly, she wasn't having it. So I asked her, I was like, Mom, what do you want? Like, what do you actually want, Mom? She said, I just want to be together with all my kids, home, under one roof. longing that she expressed was so beautiful because it's the longing of God's heart. That's the longing of God's heart, to be together with his children, home, under one roof. This is what God, the joy of Christmas in his heart, that he has even in this, that God's children, his kids, together under one roof, and that he comes to bring us home. His desire to be with us and to draw us eternally with him. It sounds beautiful and perfect, right? Yet there's only one massive problem: sin and what it does to us, what it does to our hearts, which is why we need Christmas. The child, the manger, the angels, the shepherds, all of it. Why? Because God, as he did 2,000 years and as he does now, he comes into a world that is hostile. It's a dark world, cynical, with hardened hearts, torn by violence. It's a world in which we've crowned ourselves the king of our own lives. We've crowned ourselves the king of our own lives, in which we're hostile to any prince who would come to lead us, even the Prince of Peace. It's the whole account that Paul Harvey would tell every year of the man and the birds. Every Christmas growing up, we would drive to Richerton, to my mom's family's place. And on the hour and a half drive, we'd listen to AM radio. And every Christmas, Paul Harvey would tell the story of the man and the birds. And we know the core of it, right? The man who goes out and there's a blizzard and there are these birds caught in it. And so to save them from freezing to death, he goes and he opens the huge door of the barn, the warm barn with the bright light, and he does everything he can to get the birds into the safety and the warmth of the barn. You know, he makes a trail of breadcrumbs. He tries to shoo them into the barn, but they just scatter about everywhere but into the warm and safe barn. And so finally it dawns on him that to them, he must be this scary and frightening creature. And they don't understand at all what he's trying to do. But if he could become one of them, and if he could speak their language, if he could get them to trust him, then he could lead them into the warmth and safety of the barn. But that would mean he'd have to become one of them. And it dawns on the man the whole meaning of the incarnation, of God becoming one of us. But we have to be led. We can't crown ourselves the king of our own lives. And this is why Christmas, why he comes to us as a baby. Because our hearts are hostile territory oftentimes to him. They're hardened. But he comes as a baby to soften them as only a child can do. You place a child, a baby, even in the most grizzled and hardened hands there are, someone who has the hardened heart that you couldn't imagine, and even that, a child will melt their heart, hopefully just enough for saving grace to enter into it. He comes as a child because perhaps there is no other way that he could get into our hearts, which can become so small and so hardened. But he comes as a baby to soften them and to enlarge them by his grace. Because a baby changes everything in a family, in our hearts, in the world. And this baby that comes to us, it changes everything. And as an infant, a small baby finds rest in its mother's arms, so God desires to find rest in you and for you to find rest in him, the Prince of Peace, the only one and the only thing that we truly want. And he comes to us, Emmanuel, God with us. Everyone, I pray that you and your families have a blessed and joy-filled Christmas. For today our Savior is born to us, a child, Christ the Lord.